got another story to tell to you. Annette Bruce. Annette is from Houston. And Annette, be sure to tell them about your skirt.
Thank you.
Okay.
For fear of forgetting, I'll tell you right now about my skirt. I'm wearing a tie skirt, a replica of one that came out of Europe a few decades ago. People used to throw out their old ties to gypsies, and they had no use for them as ties, so they ripped them apart and sewed them together again and made a skirt. I wear it over a hook, which I think someone in the South probably designed because it holds all this material out from my legs. It's kind of a built-in air conditioner. And because Southerners, as our friend here, Peggy, and other Southerners are known for being good storytellers as well as gypsies, this is my storytelling outfit. I'd like to share with you a story that is in rhyme form, and it comes to us from a very prolific writer over in England by the just died not within this year, I think, either the first part of this year or last year, Roald Dahl. And he has drawn on two of our children's favorites to give us this version of The Three Little Pigs. The animal that I really dig more than any other is the pig. Pigs are noble. Pigs are clever. Pigs are courteous. However, now and then, just to break this rule, you'll meet a pig who is a fool. What, for example, would you say if while walking through the woods one day, right in front of you, you saw a pig who had built his house of straw? The wolf who saw it licked his lips and said, "That pig done had his chips. Little pig, let me come in." No, no, not with the hair of my chinny chin chin. But I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in. The little pig began to pray, but wolf blew his house away, and he yelled, "Ho, ho, bacon, pork, and ham. Oh, what a lucky wolf I am." And though he ate the pig quite fast, he carefully kept the tail for life. And then he wandered on, a trifle bloated. Surprise, surprise, for soon he noted another house for pigs, and this one was filled with twigs. Little pig, let me come in." No, no, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. "Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in." "All right, here I go." And he began to blow and blow. The little pig began to squeal. "Oh, wolf, you've already had one meal. Can't we just kind of talk this over and make a deal?" But the wolf replied, "Not on your nelly." And soon that pig was in his belly. "Two juicy pigs," wolf cried, "and still I'm not satisfied. Though I know full well that my tummy's bulging. I just adore indulging." And so, creeping as quietly as a mouse, wolf approached another house. This house also had inside a little pig trying to hide. But this little pig, piggy number three, oh, he was as wise and brainy as could be. No straw for him, no twigs or sticks. He'd built his house out of bricks. "You won't get me," piggy cried. "I'll blow you down," the wolf replied. "It'll take a lot of huff, and I just don't think you've got enough." Well, the wolf huffed, and he puffed, and he blew, but the house stood as good as new. "If I can't blow it down," the wolf said, "I'll blow it up instead. I'll come back in the dead of night and blow it up with dynamite." Piggy, listening, cried, "Oh, you brute, I might have known." And reaching for the telephone, he dialed as quickly as he could the number of Red Riding Hood. "Hello," she said. "Who's speaking? Who? Oh, Piggy, how do you do? I need your help, Miss Hood. Will you help me, please? Do you think you could?" "Be glad to try," she replied. What's on your mind?" "A wolf," Pig cried. "I know you've had a wolf before, but now I've got one at my door." "Piggy dear, my sweet, that's something that's really up my street. I've just started to wash my hair, but as soon as it's dry, I'll be right there." A short time later, through the wood, came striding brave Miss Riding Hood. The wolf just stood there, his eyes ablaze, yellowish like mayonnaise. His teeth were sharp, and his lips, his gums were raw, and there was spit dripping from his jaw. Once more, the maiden's eyelid flickers. She draws a pistol from her knickers. And once more, she hits a vital spot and kills the wolf with a single shot. Piggy, looking out the window, stood and cried, "You did good, Miss Riding Hood." "Ah, Piggy, you must never trust young maiden from the upper crust. For now, Miss Hood," one notes, "not only has two wolfskin coats, but as she goes from place to place, she also has a pigskin traveling case." I am a storyteller. I've been telling stories most of my life because my mother and father were storytellers. Mother would read me stories, but my father would tell me stories, and I thought he was the greatest storyteller on earth, and I just couldn't wait until I got grown and a storyteller like he was. So in Eustis, when I started to school, we didn't have any kindergarten, started right into the first grade, and if I figured if I was in the first grade, I was grown. And if I was grown, I was a storyteller. So I started telling my first grade teacher that I was a storyteller. She just smiled and patted me on the head, but I kept insisting that I was a storyteller. So one day she said, "Annette, you may come to the front of the class and tell a story." Well, when I got up in front of that class and saw all my peers peering at me instead of me being back there looking up here, I got so scared and I said, "Harry had and she said, there, Annette, take your seat. Maybe you'll do better next time." But there wasn't a next time. She didn't let me tell a story again. In fact, I was in the third grade before a teacher would let me tell a story again. And that time, I was so determined that I was going to do a really great job that I remembered to give them a nice little curtsy and a great big smile, and then I forgot my story. Now I remember it. Mary had a little goat. His fleece was white as cotton, and everywhere that Mary went, that goat would have trotten. When I was in the third grade and my teacher asked me to tell a story, I said, "Mary had a little..." I've already graduated from the third grade, haven't I? So when I got to the fifth grade, my teacher asked me to tell a story, and I said, "Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was as black as his hair. And everywhere that Mary went, they thought it was a mare." When I was in the seventh grade and my teacher asked me to tell a story, I said, "Mary had a little lamb. Her father shot it dead. Now Mary takes it to school each day between two hunks of bread." When I was in high school and my teacher asked me to tell a story, I said, "Mary had a little lamb, colorblind and so. Didn't know red from green or which was stop and go. Followed her to school one day, which was a stupid thing to do. Got caught between the red and green, and now it's mutton stew." When I went to college and my teacher asked me to tell a story, I said, "Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that the watery wind, the lamb was sure to go." And now that I'm a storyteller, I like the little lamb tale so much that I use it for my theme story or my signature story, And I tell it, and when I tell it this way. Mary had a little lamb. I've told you that before. But did you know that she passed her plate and asked for more? Thank you.